And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. First epistle of John, first epistle. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart again in your presence that we might enjoy and realize your awesomeness. So take care and help us. We've opened thy word. Spirit of God, it is your job, it is your assignment, if we could ever use those words, for you to help us and give us understanding hearts. And our God, that we would have the benefit of that understanding in a personal and wonderful way, that we might honor you the more. So deal with us. We think of babies and nursery and things downstairs and that. So take care of us. Thank you for everything. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise together, as we have looked at 1 John, and 1 John is to get us into the wonderful relationship where we enjoy God's awesome person in a wonderful, wonderful way. So, of all the things we do in life on planet Earth, the different groups and meetings and religions and everything, why are we here? We're here to know God. This isn't a social club. This isn't a place to come to find entertainment. This isn't that kind of place. It should not be that kind of place. It's where we assemble together as believers to allow and look to God, allow our little hearts to enjoy and learn of God's wonderful presence. That's what we're here for. If you're here for the reason, people come for many reasons, but and you could spend years here and never do this in your heart. God has to get to you personally in here. And if that doesn't happen, your religion is nothing. It just has left you dead in trespasses and sin. In the name of good, in the name of religion, you're dead spiritually. You need to have this relationship. It's all about that relationship. And when you seek that, you're finding the fullness in his person, not in your person, in his person. That's what you're looking for. Otherwise, that's what being a believer is, to know the living and only God and his Son by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified to make it all possible. Now, so that's what we've been looking at. And in 1 John chapter 3, as we've been going through it, and we're at, right, if I may, I am verse 21. 3 and 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence, boldness, freedom toward God. And verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because the reason we receive it, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23, and this is this commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So we have in a very little spot, God puts it in one big, lots of punches, lots of things that help us here in a little spot. You get a summation of putting it all together again. And here, notice please, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive. And whatever we receive, we're going to get it because we keep his commandments. So we have a relationship that allows us to be asking and receiving. We have a relationship. That's what God's looking for. That you need the relationship in order to ask. And when you're asking, the word ask, to desire with the will. You ask to desire. And when you do that, you're looking to receive. And that's what it's all about. And our traditional system, it gets to the place where we ask God for things, people asking God for things and doing things. Nothing wrong with that. You can ask or do whatever. But I don't want to be just asking and go nowhere. God, you gave us instructions on how to be wonderfully successful in all of our asking so that we're always receiving. Ah, that's different. That's what God is talking about. Not God, would you do something to take care of the weather? Would you do something? We're looking for that relationship. Therefore, in order to lock that in, it is wonderfully, wonderfully consistent and simple. And you need to just lock it in. It is such a simple thing, as you know. And it is so rarely, rarely ever exercised or understood in a profitable, practical way by people. So, and therefore, to do that, back over to John chapter 15. And you allow me to bore you with the same thing again. So you get it. Because without it, it ain't going to go anywhere. Just isn't going to go, not in this life. So, chapter 15, relationship, God looking to help us. And in the process, you'll notice, remember, he's the vine, he's the branch. And sliding down in light of context and everything, down chapter 15 and in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Abide, like the branch and the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without that abiding, without that relationship, you can do nothing, nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing's going to happen. So, and sliding over to verse 9, I'll read verse 8 even. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments in my perfect humanity and abide in his love. So, we have a unique relationship. We're to abide as in the branch. And remember, we use the tree out there, trees anywhere, and we use them simply because it's easier to see than a vine, grapevine or something. And the tree grows, the tree. Every branch in the tree enjoys the life of the tree. You all know. Every branch in the tree enjoys the life of the tree. It isn't enjoying the life of other trees. It isn't enjoying the life of anywhere else. It has found its home. The branch is attached to the tree, and the tree gives its life support, water, food, sap, flowing through the branch. And as it flows through the branch, the leaves are there. The leaves belong to the branch. They belong to the branch. They don't belong to any other tree. They don't belong to any other place. They belong to the tree. They abide. They abide in the tree, and the tree gives its life to the branch. And the life of the branch is there. So what are we doing? Now hang on. That's the relationship. So when you get saved, God Christ dies on the cross, has died, and you receive him as your Savior. You receive his awesome deity, and God saves you because of his humanity. Now, when Christ finds his home in your heart, and you're thus, there's a relationship. You have a relationship to your body. You are not your body. You live in your body. You're just a person inside of here. And when your heart stops beating, the person moves. The person moves. All gone. All gone. The body's pronounced dead. No life anymore. So, and that is a relationship. Do we understand it? Do we feel it? Do we taste it? No. It's just a real relationship that really, really is, that's where you are. And you don't even feel it. But boy, do you exercise it. Now, hang on. When you receive Christ as your Savior, body, soul, spirit, that's you. Spiritual, you want like a monkey or a goat. You receive him spiritually. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And you receive Christ as your Savior. And God takes that like the light bulb we had, and all little light bulbs, and God meant light bulbs to have power, and God meant humans, the spirit, to be enjoying God's wonderful person. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, like the light bulb receives electricity, the heart receives the Lord Jesus Christ. They're made for God. God made us in his image and likeness to know him. So, having received him as our Savior and Lord, then we have a unique oneness with him. That oneness is what it's all about. God has now become your life, your Savior. God has now become, you have, when you receive Christ, God has given himself to you in an awesome way. And you're able to say, I know him as my Lord and Savior. You're able to say that in the fullness of your heart. God has done that. That's what it's all about. To be able to know and honor God, not being religious. And you can know the Bible up to here, over your head, and never know him. The little kid that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, little kid looks out, and he doesn't have to say, God, I don't see you. Little kid doesn't need to see God. Little kid just knows God. Thanks. Thanks for saving me. Now, so the branch abides. That's what we need to do. And just to tie that together, abides, back over to this where we're looking at in 1 John. Over to 1 John in chapter 1. Chapter 2, actually. 1 John chapter 2, picking up if I may. And you'll notice it. 1 John chapter 2, picking up, please. You'll catch it in verse 6. Same word, abide. And God's going to say it again. John was the penman in John chapter 17, 15. John is the penman in 1 John chapter 2. So therefore, chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, abiding. If you say you know him as your Savior, you ought to abide. And if you're abiding, you're going to be walking by faith and not by sight. Verse 24. Chapter 2, verse 24. Remember, we did all this. Let that therefore abide in you, abide, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain, the word remain is the same word as the word abide, to remain. If the remain or abide in you, you shall also continue, there's the word again, continue to abide in the Son and in the Father. So you're going to have God Without me, you can do nothing, except you have to abide as the branch in the tree. And you have to abide. That's what you do. There's no other way. So whenever you're asking, you're always asking. The tree is never interested in having what? Here's a peach tree over here. Make believe. This tree is never interested in what the peach tree is doing. It sees it, but it's life. This isn't a peach tree, obviously. So the peach tree abides. The peach tree is there. The branch is abiding in the tree. The only thing that's interested to this branch is the tree. It's its life. Do you understand? There is no life in the peach tree. This isn't a peach tree. It's a believer attached to the living and only God. And you need to be abiding, asking. Whatever you ask is always in relationship to your relationship to the tree. Always. You never ask for anything, as you'll see in a minute. Never ask for anything. About what happens if I was a coconut tree? Well, you aren't a coconut tree. You're just you, a believer. And you're resting in God, in his wonderful person. And that's what you're doing. So asking and receiving is always connected to the tree. So whatever you ask, you're going to get back from the tree. So you aren't looking for something coming from the government. You're looking for something coming from God. Do you understand? God. So all that you ask, you'll watch it. Those wonderful statements, you'll see them. You could just move mountains. And all of those statements will pop out to you and mean something. Otherwise, I've had people say, it's stupid to say, pray and the mountain will move. You see, let's see you move a mountain, see. And that isn't talking about that. Anyway, we'll get it. Now, hang on to that if you can. Over to see it, which you lock in. Why this is all true. Romans chapter 6 again. You know all these things. I'm just driving it home again and again. Romans in chapter 6. Picking up, please. In Romans chapter 6, let me find it, if I can. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. You know, I'm going to read it, and you're going to say, oh, I know that. Good. Believe it. Rest in it. Rest in it. Rely upon it. You're counting it. Here's a car. You got a car. You're going to go to New York, Boston, or something. And you're going to say, well, I know the car. I know the car has tires. I know the tires are there. I have the key to the car. I have all of that. I know. All that knowing is wonderful. But until you stick the key in the ignition and start the motor and drive, you aren't going to get to Boston unless you do it. Turn the key on and look to the map and go to Boston. That's what you do. Forget the map. No one looks at maps. You want to know how to read a map, though. You may don't want to draw up that you don't know how to read a map. Now, someday, the power will fail, and the satellite will come down and rest in Washington, and all of that's going to happen. And then what are you going to do? Your Jeep, whatever that is, it's gone. Now you're stuck with what's ever in your head and whatever you know how to do. And if you don't know how to do it, are you in trouble? Now, and that's what artificial intelligence and the next step of where it's going, to make it so you don't need to do anything. It'll think for you. It'll feel for you. It'll tell you your answers. Well, how I feel, what you should do. That's where it's going. And the guys, the power that's controlling it, has the great advantage in pushing the right buttons in the right way to get the right things. That's coming up, as you know, and the devil's going to use that. Now, hey, I don't want to get sidetracked. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, placed into, immersed into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, when Christ died, he paid the price, finished, buried, rose again. And even as he, verse 4, even as so we also should walk in newness of life. For reason, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's what God's talking about. You recognize you get saved. How did you get saved? Christ died on the cross and forgave your sins, pardoned, and you received him as your Savior, and God received, there's your word, received him as your Savior, and God gave you his wonderful grace in his person. And you know all that. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become children of God. Verse 16, all we that have received, there's the same verb, received grace. God has given us himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. God the Son, in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, died on the cross to make it possible for God to find his home in your heart. And therefore, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God gives you a unique relationship, and you're to exercise that relationship because you recognize he made it possible. How did he make it possible? Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you recognize what? God made possible a new relationship. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. God did it in his grace. You didn't ask for it. You didn't even understand it. God just did it. Because he created us for that reason. Didn't create us to worry and want and wander and work and home and eat and drink. No, that isn't why you're creating. The kingdom of heaven, as you know, Romans 14, etc., has nothing to do with eating and drinking. Real life has a life to enjoy. Eating and drinking may be there, but it isn't about that. It's about knowing and enjoying a person in a personal way, in a very real way. You have to understand, we are in the perfect presence of God right now. You can't be any more in his presence. No more. You don't enjoy it because he's different. You don't enjoy the angels either. They're spirit beings. We're earthly beings. As we see it with the ant and others, the little ant doesn't understand you. The little ant just comes and goes and does what it does. And that's what us humans do on planet Earth. We have no idea of God. God must be this. God must be that. God's a Buddha. No. So therefore, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And God makes us, as we read and thought of in John 1:12, God makes us what? Children. We belong as Father. We're family. God's our Father. God, the Father. Jesus Christ died to bring us to God, the Father. As we share together, over to John, the Gospel of John. John in chapter 16. John 16. And you remember. Verse 23. 16:23. Remember the upper room. In that day, said the Lord, you shall ask. There's your little word. Ask. You shall ask. Desire. You shall desire me. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, amen, amen. I say unto you, whosoever Whatsoever you shall ask, ask. There's your word again. The Father, in my name, he will give it to you. You're going to ask the Father. Verse 24. Hitherto, up to this point, up in the upper room, you have asked me, yes, nothing in my name. In other words, you talk directly. The disciples, Peter, James, John, Paul, each one, Thomas, they talk straightway to the Lord. Straightway. That's what they did. Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross and die and be seated at the right hand of God. And the Lord Jesus said, day's coming up very shortly, very quickly, coming, hours away. And you're going to find what? A unique, wonderful relationship that you're going to come to me. But you aren't going to come to me. You're going to understand that I have made it possible for you to have a personal, wonderful relationship to God. And you're going to come in my name, who I am. You're going to come, the branch attached to the vine. You're going to come in my name to God, the Father. And that's what you're going to do. Verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. There's your words, verbs. Receive. That purpose, your joy may be full. Now, having got that little bit and got that, now to see it, it's the minute you got saved, this happened to you. And now I'm going to go over to Galatians. Over to Galatians, the book of Galatians. Remember the epistles, all written to believers to understand their relationship to God in Christ. So now, therefore, if I can, Galatians, these are things, but this is something you got to have deep things of God. There's no question you do. Everything's deep with God. But, you know, and you have to read many books, and maybe you'll be one of the rare people, Christians, that ever get there. But no one ever gets there. We don't expect to get there. To get where? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith, the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, how long do you have to be saved to enjoy that? The minute you got saved. You don't have to wait 25 years and go to seven seminaries and study the Bible for 18 years. No. The minute you got saved, the relationship became possible. So Galatians 2:20 is not something 15 years from now. You heard it, and you'll hear it again. And one day, it sinks in. You grab it. You got it. I'm trying to tell you, help us, each other, trying to help each other. You have it the moment you're saved. Look at it again. Over again. In Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. And you will note, Colossians 3, picking up, please, in verse 3. Verse 3. 4. I better read the context, it's easy. If ye then, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, and you are, Christ died, we just read it in Romans 6, it's what happened to you. Christ died, was buried, rose again. And the life you live, the life you have now, Romans 6, 4, 3, is the newness of life. His life. He took your death and gives you his life. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So God, we're looking to you in our earthly position in a heavenly way. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. 4, reason, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now, it's the life, crucified. You have it. How long did it take to get there? When you got saved? God crucified your old nature and said, reckon it dead. It's still there. You got to live with the dumb thing. But it's still there. Don't go by it. Let it be there. And use your head and common sense, always trusting God, looking to God, abiding as the branch, always having life, no matter what the weather, no matter how work went, no matter how school goes, no matter how your health is, you just keep abiding. You just keep resting in God's perfectness because God's made you a new creature, even though you're an old creature in the flesh and you're living with a dumb thing. It's like living with a bad something, dog. How's a dog? Something. And you live with them, whatever, and they're vomiting and doing everything all over. You got to live with, you got an old nature. But that old nature, has been crucified, and as far as God sees it, it's dead. I see it as alive. I make it alive. God sees it as dead. Dead. That's why you abide, asking and receiving, so that you can handle the world, weather, storm, leave everything there, squirrels running across you, and doing whatever they do. And you can abide. You're asking, you're keeping the relationship, asking and receiving, so you keep it valid, real, active, so that you can handle everything. And things are hard to handle, but not for God, as you'll see. As you see, got to get there. Now, in Colossians, Philippians. Philippians and chapter 2. And you'll notice in Philippians and chapter 2, as you know, again, without putting that together, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, 2:12, Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my absence only, but now much more in my absence. Do what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Think of fear that we did in Sunday school. To fear God, the treasure of all treasures. Now, so what are we going to do? Work out your relationship. The vine, work out the relationship. Work it out so you can handle everything. Don't work out, what am I going to work out? My relationship. If I don't have one in Christ, then you can sit, people sit for 10 years in church and they never get there. 20 years. And they even do it here where we're working at it. We're trying, we haven't got there. But we're working at trying to do this thing, trying to understand it. That's what God wants. And you never get there. Why not? Because nothing's in here. And all you got is in your head. And it has to get in here. If it isn't in here, I can look. I don't have to be a genius. By that I mean, you need to be saved. Say, do you have a relationship? I have people. You know them. We know each other. But people are saved. But then they're not saved. They say they're saved. If you ask them, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But I never know it. I have no evidence. If Christ should be in you, that's why we love each other. Christ loves me and loves you and me. Christ in you loves me and you and me. Loves you and me, loves you and loves me in you. Christ loves you. That's for real. If it isn't real, it ain't going to go anywhere. That's why church is going down everywhere. Don't get discouraged. It's the way it is. As we're coming to the end of the age, literally, the end of the age, it's going to get darker and drearier. It's just where it's going. going. You're going to have an artificial intelligence, and all of the system and all the mechanics makes peanut butter the same. Makes your jelly sandwich the same jelly sandwich. You just have artificial intelligence, and you're trying to hope is artificial intelligence. You're hoping the system will get you through. You don't want to do that. You want to have a valid, real relationship. And without it, without that, you ain't going anywhere. I'm just telling you flat outright. And you can debate and talk about it and tell me what you're doing to save yourself. But you can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't do anything when it comes to God, except believe in him. Now, so therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good, wonderful, wonderful pleasure. Now, having said that, we need to ask, us be asking and receiving. Now, begin to put, and our Lord does that in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Our Lord is an example to help us in asking. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, we read together to ask, be asking and receiving. So now, putting that a little bit into focus, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew and chapter 7. And you know, chapter 7, and our Lord, picking up, if I may, chapter 6, I didn't mean to say, 7's good too. Chapter 6, and verse 7. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions. You don't have to say, Dad, I need a quarter to have a candy bar. Years ago, a quarter, and you're going to do it. I need a quarter, I need a quarter, I need a quarter, I need a quarter. Don't do that. You don't have to be a pest. Count your, whatever you want to count. Apples or beads, whatever you want to do. Count them. Spin the wheel, prayer wheel, spin the wheel. The more you spin, the more power you get. No, you don't get any power. You don't get anything. God says, please, don't do that. It's a waste of time. No offense. However, in verse chapter 6, if I can, in verse 7, and you shall be heard for much speaking. Verse 8, and be not therefore like unto them. Don't do this. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. So before you ever ask, is the vine branch tied to the tree? Before you're asking, God already knows what the limb needs. The tree is going to provide everything for the winter, for the spring, for the bugs. It's going to provide before you ask. I haven't even asked yet. But God knows before I ask. That's correct. Hang on to that. Now, if we can, picking up, please, over to verse 30. And in verse 30, you'll note, wherefore, if God, chapter 6, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, like in the light of the context, therefore, take no thought. Don't be divided up in your mind in 10 different directions. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles. The world has to do it. They don't know me. They don't know God. So they're busy trying to survive. It's the money, profit, business, position, power, privilege. All of that's busy making the world run, trying to get everything, food, money, whatever you need. The world's busy. Verse 32. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The little kid's trying to tell the father what they need. The little kid knows what you need. The father knows what they need, not your need. And therefore, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The whole business of just living daily, breathing the air, what we're doing. And therefore, why don't you just trust me, said God, and abide? And then with your abide in the branch, and then live your life out here, work, home, school, whatever, wherever you are, whatever you do, each day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, do it. But be abiding, asking, always, hang on to asking, we're going to cover that, asking and remain, ask and you shall receive. God knows. God knows exactly. The branch doesn't know. The tree knows exactly what it needs, and it's going to draw up and bring the life to the branch. God in Christ knows exactly what you need, and the Lord Jesus Christ is all you need, like you're saying. All you need, he is. So therefore, don't be worried. Verse 34, take therefore, don't be all divided up about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's there, do the best you can, trying to figure it out, but don't get all caught up in it. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself. Take thought for the things of itself. Today is enough to think about, worry about, and work out. To sufficient unto the day is the evil, the difficulties thereof. There's enough today to work out. Don't try to work out tomorrow, because you'll only lose working out today. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and we looked at all those places in John and that, ask and you receive. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And God says it over and over and over. Matthew chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask. There's your little word. I'm picking it up again. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that asketh, he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom it is, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? No, don't do that. No, you give him the best you can. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Verse 11, if then, being evil, that's us guys, our old evil, sinful nature. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that the good things to them that ask him? Ask him. Ask and receive. You're looking to God. God knows my need. Looking to God to work it out in the way that he does, in his wonderful way. That's why in Colossians and all that, put off the old man, put on the new. Make sure you're trusting, abiding. Make sure you're abiding in the vine. Then you ask. You're asking as a believer in the vine, in his name. It's in his name. That's how you get attached. Christ in you makes the relationship valid, right, And the branch can abide in the tree, as it were, and enjoy the life of the tree. With the reason, the one reason, because it's in Christ's name, in God's name, God in Christ, in you. And that's why you can ask and receive all that God knows you need. Over to do a little different, over to Philippians. And in Philippians, if I may. And you'll catch it. Yeah. So Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, going directly to the end of the epistle. Chapter 4, Philippians, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your, what? Need. All your need. According, how so? According to the standard. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has made it possible in Christ, the vine, as you abide in Christ. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Without me, you can do nothing. God has made Christ. God has given his wonderful person in Christ to be the wonderful person in your life. Simple. To be that. Now, and God will supply all your need. All your need. Oh boy, I have so many needs. But God already knows my needs. Now God, how's that going to work? Chapter 4 of Philippians. And you'll note, chapter 4, and in Philippians, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't fret, don't fume, don't fuss. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's abiding in Christ, and do it with thanksgiving. But if you've got a problem and you're trying to figure it out, then let your requests be made known unto God. Now you're asking. You're asking as a branch, abiding, you're asking God. God, I don't know what to do. Now, we aren't talking about a parking space in a restaurant, okay, or a store. Now, the parking space is possible. Don't get me wrong. Because oftentimes I said, God, there's no place to park. And then the car pulls out. I say, thank you. So I'm asking. I ask simple things, you know. But you got the idea. So you abide. What are you doing? You're looking to God asking. But when you got a problem, and it just sticks in your head, and doesn't seem to, you got to go with thanksgiving and come to God. And you ask God, you have to work this out. I can't work it out. I can't work it out rightly. But I want you to want work it. And I'm just going to abide asking you to want work, asking that I might receive. I don't want to have anything that disturbs my relationship. You're going to read it pretty quick. Well, not today, because maybe never. God takes us home. Of any process, you got the idea. God says, what? If you believe me, you can move a mountain, see? And God said, listen. Anyway, don't get sidetracked. Anyway, you got the idea. And you're going to abide. And God's going to do what he does and helps you through it. So therefore, you've got peace that God's going to pass all understanding. Sliding down, that's verse 7. Sliding down to verse 11. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Well, how did you learn? In the problem, the leaf, that winter, spring, summer, fall, bugs, disease, you just abide. That's right, I've learned to abide. And how did you do that? Verse 12, I know both how to abound and both how to be abased. Go down low, and I know how to abound, go up high, everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed, initiated, both to be full and to be hungry. Hungry. Both to abound, to suffer need. Right. That's how you learn. That's how you learn to abide. You have needs. That's right. That's why you have to ask sometime. Because you're learning. You're learning. And the more you learn, the less you need to do what? You're going to keep abiding. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're just going to trust God in and through it. That's what you're going to do. But you got to learn it. So God lets you fall down. God lets you get a bloody nose. God lets the thing, makes you lose stuff. Things, you know, all kinds of things in your life. Like we say, you drop the food. You do all kinds of things. What can I do? Spill the milk? Whatever. Yeah, we're learning. You're learning to trust. That's what God wants. I want you to be able to go. And how it happens, I want you to be looking to me. Always with thanksgiving. Everything isn't good. What just happens, you got to go fix it. You got to go fix it. But you learn. Learn to trust me so that no matter what happens, you're going to find what? I know your need. I'm going to let you discover your need. So you trust me in your need and you'll find I'm quite able to help you. But you're going to have to learn it in the College of Hard Knocks. And as the fellow said, the head of Hillsdale College, you read it probably, in his speech to Chris, the fellow that just died, Kirk, just died. At 19 years old, he was with the president of Hillsdale, and in the process, looking, and he wanted to know what to do. And so, and you don't have to read all of that, but the president of Hillsdale said, you need to get to God. And the only way you're going to do that is to read the classics, to read all the things, government, to read the important things of how things happen and why. Read them. And of course he did, obviously, rather wisely. And he said, then. And he never came to Hillsdale. He could have. He never went anywhere. He just did that. So God, what are we doing? But we aren't coming to the president of Hillsdale. We're coming to God. And God has to help us get there. And like you have to read books and study and read day and night and understand. You have to be serious about your... Oh, the word I was after the whole thing. In the whole article, he said you have to suffer to learn. Learning involves suffering. That's how you learn. You have to abide. And I'll help you learn in your troubles and headaches and heartaches and loneliness and all that you have. I am going to go and make everything come out right. But you have to abide to learn it now so you'll enjoy it now until you get there then. That come out right. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. God, it's just us trying to inch by inch getting along. So deal with our heads and hearts. God, we just don't want to be, we don't want to be bumping the log. We want to be, enjoy the life of the log. So we want to have the life. We want to just exercise your wonderful presence. God, that's awesome. It's awesome, awesome. And God, but it is so. It really is so. So God, help us to get there and to understand and not just be churchgoers or comers or goers or Bible readers or whatever. God, put all of that together that would be real and right and honor you. And now, God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.